What's the password?
Don't talk about it. Be about it.
Welcome in to the To The Point Home Services VIP room, where we invite you, the listeners in, to hang alongside some of the biggest, baddest, and most successful VIPs of the home services industries. You never know which surprise guest will show up next. So let's get this party started.
Hey, what's up, Home Service VIPs? It's your boy, Chris Long, my co-host, Chatty P&AG. And we got a special VIP in the house tonight. I think he's one of the nicest guys. Definitely got always has a lot of a really great energy around him. We got Helmy Ben Fly on here, too, from Guaranteed Service over in Jersey. You don't quite look like a Jersey boy, though, Helmy. I'm going to be honest.
Yes, I'm not. I'm born and raised in Africa.
Oh, well, that would probably be why. I wouldn't have guessed that either, if I'm being honest.
No, I'm from North Africa, a small country called Tunisia.
Okay, I've actually heard of that.
Yeah, they lost every game in the World Cup by like 4 or 5 goals.
All that.
Okay, well.
But they were there. That's what matters. They were there.
They were there.
They get the participation trophy. Mm.
Purple ribbon. That's special. Well, hey, we're excited to have you on here too. It's always fun to bring new guests on here. I think you only done one podcast prior. So we're going to make this one your best one so far. But you've got a fun little business. And what's interesting to our listeners is Helmy just started his business back in 2018. He is multi-trade, HVAC, plumbing, electrical. But what's interested me most about your journey in particular, Helmy, is you're a software engineer. Right. And then you said, hey, let's go be a contractor. And so you made the change and then it's the actual volume of growth and the consistency of the growth that I'm the most impressed with since 2018. And then you recently, I think it was last year, right? You joined the Redwood Services family, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Even since bringing them on board, you had some like monster growth in this past, like, yeah. So you're just doing a lot of great stuff. And I think it's an interview worth having. So welcome to the show, my friend.
Well, thank you so much for having me. Again, Helmy Ben Fly from North Africa, Tunisia. I moved to the United States in August 28, 1998. I did not speak a word in English. And I really just came over for vacation. I have a master's in automation system. I'm in a computer programmer. And I met this beautiful, you know, smart woman in my first 2 weeks, and we've been married since then. So we have 3 kids. I've been here now for 28 years, and I'm proud to be an American, and I love the country.
I love that. By the way, 2 weeks, you didn't give it much time there, buddy.
Rip. When you know.
I called my brother. I'm like, I'm not coming back. I'm staying a little bit longer.
And then it was never.
Yeah. I'm going actually in a couple of days to visit.
Hang on, Helmy. I'm interviewing you, okay? Hey, I don't want to blow past this because I think it's important. I was mentioning to the listeners, you know, some of your numbers, and I asked for permission, so I appreciate you letting me share these. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned that you started in 2018, and your HVAC and plumbing both, you started both right out the gate?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And then you added electrical in 2020, right?
Yes, the end of 2020.
Okay, so in 2018, you were $4.6 million. 2019, $6.1 million. 2020, you hit $8 million. 2020, you hit $8 million. 2021, $9 million. 2022, a nice little leap to $14 million. 23, $19 million. 24, $23 million. And 25, you're at $24 million. And this year, you are pacing $38 million, all while running a 56% gross margin and 21% EBITDA. Not too shabby, dude.
That is absolutely correct.
All right.
I got some questions about this.
We're changing this whole, like, we're changing around. We're definitely got questions for you.
Yeah.
My job.
All right. Let's dive into this. I think we can all probably point to kind of the COVID boom. Looks like you rode that wave. However, at least in my business, I saw at the back end of 23 and 24, like those were tough. Like, tell me how you navigated like the back end of like, hey, the COVID, like kind of everybody's calling, I just got to hire more people, so on and so forth. Like, what did you see shift? Did you hit it? Like, did you see it early and then you were able to shift? Like, what was that back in that 2023, 2024? Like, what were the things that you look back upon and like, oh, yep, we saw this, or hey, even if we got lucky, who cares? We've all gotten lucky. Like, what were those? What were some of those things that you were that propelled you guys even through that piece of it?
It's mostly accountability and a management team and training and keep training and keep training. And the electrical division was very huge for us. It was really, you know, our average ticket is higher than anybody I ever seen before. The conversion rate is great. And it's all about training. And, you know, this year we bought 20 more trucks and there is 20 more to come. And my philosophy is I always want to buy trucks. I want to see them on the parking lot. So it gives me more aggravation to get them in the road. And once in the road, I just buy more ones and keep going. I did some little tuck-ins, like some acquisitions, small acquisitions, you know, like $1 million in revenue and less. I work that database very, very well. We do a lot. We are like more of an outbound company. We are really an outbound machines. We don't have no demand calls. We don't rely on the weather. If it's cold or it's hot, it's you know, that's icing in the cake. It's just better processes, better execution. Most importantly is the executions. I told Chris, I'm a big thief, man. I just rob and duplicate. I don't, all right? Whatever works for someone, it works for Chad, works for Aaron, you know, learned a lot from Tommy. You know, I was mentored by George Brazil for God knows how many years. I lived in his place. And it's all about execution, and we'll execute to like the highest degree. I mean, we have a leadership team that they fight with each other because somebody, you know, didn't execute right. So to answer your question, it's added more trucks, added some more customers, increased marketing. We spend about 11% of our revenue in marketing. We have a really, really good brand. When I started the business in 2018, the first decision is I bought GuaranteedService.com as a domain, and I tied it in with 1-800 Guaranteed as phone number, and it's all for a brand. It's in the trucks, in the radio, it's in TV ads, you know, retargeting ads. It was just execution, Chad.
Perfect. Well, I appreciate you robbing and duplicating. What I don't appreciate is you robbing, duplicating, and then doing it better. So we're gonna share backwards here on how you're executing on this. So tell me a little bit more, because I think this is one of those things where we've all heard it, this like outbound strategy, like we need to be outbounding. I feel like we're in like a space where we just keep marketing. And then we're like, well, we're so busy answering the phone that we don't have to outbound. Like, what do you like? Tell me a little bit more about your outbound strategy.
So there is two ways how to get increase the call counts for us. A, in the inbound call, in the inbound and the outbound. So the inbound call, if somebody calls in for a faucet leaking, we don't just stop by booking the call for the faucet. We're going to ask, how old is the air conditioning? How is the heat? Do you have a generator? Do you have a water softener? We do a complete inventory of the house. And then and if someone has a 17-year-old, 15-year-old air conditioning, we're going to do a tune-up for no charge. You know, it costs us more than that just to advertise for it to get that call. So our booking rate, we typically want to look at 120%, 123% of our calls. We don't accept anything less than 100%. All right. So that's the side. How do we track it? We have a different tracking system when we book a second call on inbound calls. The outbound calls, we use AIs that retrieve data from Service Titan, and based on that, we set parameters. So, you know, I don't want to, if I call someone that I visited him 2.5 years ago, most likely he doesn't remember me. If I call someone that he visited him 6 months ago, most likely he remembers me if I did a good job in the first time. So if I want to get a list that You know, so our goal, Chad, is to have 15% contact rate. So when I call 100 people, 15 of them, they're going to answer the phone. And my goal is to book 30% of the 15 that they answer the phone. And the shorter the amount that I left the customer, so I visit them 6 months, I'm going to have a much better success rate versus the one is 2 months. So we use like a lot of AIs. For example, we have the script that would say, hey, give me every customer that we serviced either for plumbing or electrical in the last 6 months and spends over X amount of money, but we never had any service for HVAC in the last 6 months. So that's a unique customer that he knows who we are. We know that, you know, he loves us. He spent money with us and it will be a great opportunity to go for HVAC since we've never been there. The other ones is like, you know, high average ticket in a different trade that we never did the same trade. So we do outbound calls for the plumbing for the same thing, electrical the same thing, is based on customer history. And we have like a recurring report that goes in every single day at 6 o'clock, goes to the customer service manager and sends her, here's 4 outbound sheets, one for plumbing, one for electric, one for aged equipment and one for service, and based on the capacity, that's where we make the calls. If we need, you know, the big shift literally, and this is all from Redwood. It's more become a company that we will rely on more of leading indicators versus the lagging indicators, right? We don't come here the next day and we say, oh, we sucked last day because we didn't get the revenue. Why? Because we don't have enough calls. So the calls are the leading indicator. We need to get into the calls before we talk about the lagging indicator. So every time we have like a 3-day call report, gets emailed daily to our marketing agency with reds and yellows and greens. They know where to book the calls, where how you shift the money. And we focus on outbound calls. We do daily huddles, and the daily huddles will really talk more about the nothing but the leading indicator. All right. And then when we focus on that, you know, there is my what, do I have a book here somewhere?
Plans of execution. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what we live by. Yeah.
On my shelf somewhere.
Yeah, so there is a culture shift to create that outbound calls. You know, we have to help each other as a team. We can't let the installation manager down because the CSR manager did not do her job. We can't let the HVAC sales manager down because the guys did not turn, you know, tech generated leads and opportunity calls. So the whole team works together. We are a big believer in have you read the book, A Question Behind the Question? Like the QQ, all right? We don't blame, we don't ask who dropped the ball. We always say, what can I do? How can I help? We always have the eye in every conversation we start. It's more of a culture. We got everybody aligned in the same focus, same goal is, you know, to make money, I guess, and to take care of the customer.
Well, I just want to say that you guys seem to have piqued their interest, right? So there must be some some good stuff going on over there, especially at that gross margin and EBITDA percentage. I'm sure it's a number of these things, right, that are all kind of working in tandem with each other, you know, like.
Yeah, we measure everything. Literally, we measured everything, how many contact touches per hour for the CSR, the inside sales rep, how many touches per hour. We measure how many hours of shop time yesterday, how many idle time, how many hours, you know, what's your billable hours for the day. And we get all of that every day in the morning and we talk about it and we take actions. And again, Chad, there is the other ways around. If the inbound and the inbound did outbound did not give us enough calls, we rely on the techs on the field. So if I need an HVAC calls and I got plumber in the road and I don't have enough HVAC, I'm relying on those plumbers on the road to turn multi-trade referrals to other trades.
So we had a little conversation about, I guess I call them TTOs, but in here, but are your outbound calls like by the way calls? Like, by the way, we have a plumber that's already doing this. By the way, like, well, I guess we call them by the way calls. Is by the way, we already have a plumber on the way. We'll send an HVAC guy over at no charge. Is that what you're doing? Or are you just
No. The plumber, when he gets there, he will make the phone call and to the dispatch and he sends the HVAC guy.
But how does that, tell us a little bit more. That always sounds good in theory. Everybody's like, oh, I'll get my plumbers to do it, right? Like, okay. All right. I know plumbers, at least majority of them. And they don't always listen that great. I love you plumbers, but you, we don't, I'm a plumber, so I can say these things. I'm not saying anything about HVAC guys or anything, but plumbers, we don't listen that good. So how are they actually setting that up? Like, how are they going in and saying, is this already a member? And they're following up. Is this a non-member? Is this a new demand call? Is this a free maintenance? Is it a free, why would the customer accept this other person to come to the house? Like, what is that? I guess I don't even call it the hook because I don't even know if I want to use that. Like, why would the customer be like, okay, send Jimmy over here. That's your HVAC tech today. Why? What are they doing? What is it setting? Like, how do you do that?
Yeah. So, we follow a process in the sales call, what any service call is. We talk to the homeowner about his previous experience. You know, we'll say, hey, I don't want to step in any toes. Do you have any heating and air conditioning company that you, or in this case, a plumbing? Yeah. We have a plumber that he didn't show up anymore. And so we build a rapport why we are better than anybody else. What's the value there? And then we'll ask how long you've been in the home, 20 years, when the last time you had your system checked, never did. And then we'll offer whatever special is. So we typically use Faraday, the software that gets the equipment age. All right.
What was that software? I'm sorry, just so we can all hear it again. I apologize. I didn't catch that.
Faraday, Faraday. Okay. Yeah. That, but you take a picture of the equipment, it tells you what the age and the, serial number. Yeah. Okay. And if the equipment is in needs, if there is a service opportunity, that's where we go. So we start by the conversation with the homeowner. We find out what's his history in the home, his service history, and then we offer the special or we don't. Sometimes we walk away. We don't, if the unit is 1 year old.
I think for this too, just in this area, because I know this is something that, Chad, you were talking about the other day on a call too, right? Your team doing this. And this is something historically we just haven't really been good at, to be honest. Like, we're just not that good at it. Is that when do they bring this up on the call? Is that at the very end? Is it in the middle? Is it during the call? Is it when they discover it? Is it like, because a lot of times, like, hey, you're already trying to sell me another service before you've done the service, right? So where do they do this? Just from like a tactical standpoint? For me,
So it's up front, and when we knock on the door, we ask if the truck is parked okay, put shoe covers, and we say, how can we help you? Tell us what's going on. And we're going for a plumbing call, so we want to solve that plumbing issue. And during that conversation of the explorer, we'll find other needs. We find what their service history, and then at that point, we offer them before we even do the work, before we even start doing the plumbing work. Before we even give options in the plumbing.
Okay.
Now, that is when the service manager makes that call. Sometimes we don't have the capacity for it, so we escape it.
but the trigger is when you're asking the questions and finding.
So remember, it's two steps, right? Step number one is the customer service took all that information before the plumber showed up there for the faucet. So we know, if there is an opportunity, trust me, the CSR already booked it. If there is not an opportunity, the CSR did not book it, or if she tried to book an opportunity and they said, no, not today, then the plumber would do it again. When you hear it twice, most likely you will end up there.
To the Point listeners, listen up. What if the biggest thing holding back your business isn't marketing or hiring, but your bennies? The benefits for home service companies, a better 401k can be the difference between great techs and losing them to the shop right down the street. Basic Capital, our newest sponsor, is the only 401k built to actually put your team on a real path to retirement. Companies that switch over see higher participation, happier teams, and dramatically low turnover because your crew finally gets a plan that's a true benefit, not just a checkbox. Don't wait until your best people walk. Make the move and click the link below to get 12 months with zero employer fees when you join Basic Capital. Listen up, VIPs. I know you think I'm incredibly good looking. You think Chad's pretty good looking. Aaron, he's okay. He's the older one of the group, but you know, he's pretty good looking for a 50-year-old man. You know what's not good looking sometimes to you contractors and to you listeners? And that's email marketing. Why? If you actually knew how to do it properly, you'd think it was incredibly sexy. Well, Send It Email Marketing, one of our newest sponsors, has got it figured out for the trades. They specialize in the trades. That's why I invested in it. That's why Tommy with A1 Garage Door uses them. Chad with Peterman Brothers. Aaron with Eco. Gettle. Like, these guys don't just use companies that suck. They use companies that actually work and using their existing contact list. Spend all that money to get the customer, yet you do a shitty job of monetizing the list. Use Send It Email Marketing to help you today. It's a low investment, high return, or your money back. Stop fucking around and get it done.
I guess maybe on this, how many of those calls are being like outbound calls? Are you, out of your percentage of calls are you booking? Is it 20%, 30%? Like, how many calls are you getting from outbound? And I guess I'll just do a TTO, multi-trade turnover in the house. Like, do you guys have a goal that you're setting every week, or is there a percentage, or just kind of like organically it just kind of happens?
So we do the daily huddle 8:30 in the morning and 9 a.m. those calls to the technicians by the manager if we need calls for a different trade. Anytime that they turn the lead, they get $25 for turning the lead. Doesn't matter if turning a service call, if it's zero or $1 million, they still get $25.
Okay.
And Rilla is listening to the call as well. And so if there is any potential, you know, homeowners, you know, think about an air conditioning, we'll get an automatic email as well that the homeowner is interested in a different trade.
So just because I want to understand this, so if you guys don't mind, two of you.
I would like to understand as well. Please ask.
All right. Are you turning this off and on every day? And that's always the challenge, because like, oh, we need calls today. To Chad's point, like, oh, we're overwhelmed. We got all the calls. Like, we don't do it. Then the guys don't do TTOs, right? That's the language I'm using, right? And then you ask them to do it today, and then they don't do it. Then they do it, and just turn it on, and it's off and on and off, right? And I think we all try to do this. Like, oh, now we need everybody to be really good at doing this today because we don't have enough calls, right? Yeah. So do it today. But don't do it 3 days from now and back. So what is the plan on that? Is it literally from your daily win the day huddle, or whatever you guys call your daily huddle, every day? Is it set there and pushed out, and then you kind of push it to the text then? Or is it really just a cultural thing that happens every day, no matter what, and you will accept those
things? No, it happens only after the day huddle when it's needed.
Okay. That always, to me, is the challenging part, because you're asking people to turn something on and turn something off, turn something on, turn something off, right? So is that because there's enough cultural buy-in for the multi-trades that everybody believes that their responsibility is to do? Like, how do you get that belief? Like, because I think that is I would think myself, at least, Chad, maybe you feel the same. I don't know. I'm assuming similar. It's like, we try to turn them on and off. And it's like, culturally wise, that's always hard to get guys to commit to something they only do sometimes. And then you need them, and then you don't need them to do it, right? So it's like, how do you really get that? Like, tell me a little bit about how'd you train that in, and why does your team commit to it?
So we have like Zoom meetings like every day. Like, there is a Zoom meeting to go to a service technician. One is at 7:15, the other one at 7:45, and the other one is like at 8 a.m. 3 15-minute Zoom meetings, right? And we mix them. So you have like a plumber's or electrician, HVAC with some plumbing, you know, and then we create that team together. And then during the Zoom meeting, we know, hey, your fellow HVAC guys needs calls today.
Let me recap that real quick. Let me hear that. Just make sure I heard that right. You're actually doing a call with all the trades together, and then sharing in that trade meeting with the trade, not your manager meeting at whatever 8:30 or whatever time you do that. you're actually doing with the text in the morning, all the text multi-trade saying, hey, by the way, your brothers and sisters over in.
We don't mention it there. The Zoom meeting is to create the team camaraderie together. So as one team, like all bunch of brothers together. And then when we need the demand, we typically know the demand needs it like by 8:30 in the morning. Okay. And that's when the text message go from Service Titan to whatever department to create multi-calls for the other trades.
Okay. All right.
And you have, real quick, remind me of your, you said for staff size, you're at 100, you're 72 field techs, right?
Yeah, 72 field techs, 119 employees.
Okay, that's right.
And yeah, because I'm trying to think, like we only do one call a week with all trades. And it's usually just kind of a update for everybody to do it. We don't, everything else is all siloed, right? You got your meetings. You know, it gets hard. There's a lot of techs now, right? And multi-trades, multi-city, all the stuff going on. But the idea of like getting them to know each other better, I think is always the challenge. And it sounds like the way that you're doing is you're just doing a Zoom, you're introducing them, you're getting them collaborate. They get to kind of know each other better. Because I can tell you right now, if they walk in this building today, there's a lot of people in the electrical department that have no idea who the plumber is.
Right? Yeah. We literally do it. We do it on purpose. When we do a technical training or like, you know, a soft skill training for one department, that would be in-house training and it would be for only that department. When we do this culture, this scorecard meeting, we put them together. So we bring like an HVAC opportunity tech with plumbers and electricians and discussing the what happened yesterday, what's good, what's bad, and how can we get better.
Okay. All right.
And literally, you know, for the plumbers, they always like to compete against the electricians.
And they do. Always. Yeah, that's fair. They do. They're similar kind of activity, the way they operate, right? Similar. Okay. I'm just wondering that because I think it's good for me to reflect on that, because I think as you get bigger, you kind of silo them out. We do bring them together when we do like a service system training. Together, we bring all the trades. We try to blend them together. So it's not all plumbers or all electricians or all whatever, right? Try to blend them all together, get to know each other in general. But I would say outside of that, besides if we have like a gathering or a food truck or something else we're doing, we're not doing a lot of that additional mingling, I guess, between each other as a mixer between the trades. And that seems to be the thing. You're getting them to really understand how important each trade is to each other and how you contribute to this other guy that you know, Chad, right? I know Chad now. He's my electrician buddy, you know. You know anything about electrician?
Aaron, I literally want you to say in front of your field professionals, I want you to say, guys, we're going to have an inner trade mixer tonight.
Look, you know what actual, you know how I really roll, all right? That's why you're saying that. I get it.
I know. You just got off. A little mixer we're going to have.
We have a little mixer. Everybody's going to get together. We have some donuts, a little bit of lemonade. Everybody come in here.
Who is this guy? I do not know him.
Literally the most proud piece in the business is the culture in the company, and literally this is like one team, like one family, and everybody loves each other. When I say love, literally they love each other and do anything for each other to help each other.
So I think the question then becomes is, I can relate to that. I think we all can. And that's awesome, by the way. By the way, congratulations. I didn't even get to tell you congratulations, Stars. First off, congratulations. The numbers you produce, what you built, a business that's on its way to, what, 38 million this year, I think. Is that what we said? 38 million? Awesome. 35, sorry. Be more accurate there. 35. You got with a great group, by the way. Those guys over there are awesome guys. I mean, for sure. If you're getting training with Scott Brinkley and all those guys, Scott used to be my business coach. So I know Scott's fundamental, like, this is how you do it. So that's why I'm trying to go through this again, because, you know, he used to come in here and yell at me and tell me to do these things and do all this stuff and show up here and tell me how to do outbound calls. And I'm like trying to run around and do it.
Scott is great. Scott is the best. John Conway, Scott, the entire Red Wing team.
They'll come through the next star day. So you got a great group. And so you built a great culture on your own. You brought a great culture from their organization that aligns a little bit with the holistic NextStar days, right? But I guess the thing I would ask as you think about this is, like, right now you're like, everybody loves it. They know each other. Well, there's this model that once you hit over 100 people, that actually becomes significantly harder as that becomes, right? So you go to 100, to 120, to 150, 200, 200, like if that's your plan, like how do you think about keeping that? How do you think you're going to keep that sustainable for that type of like tight knit group? Or is your goal just basically to say, hey, we're just going to run this operation, what we have today, and just do the best we can with it. So how do you think about that? Because I think that was the time when I say we had 70 something, 100 employees, I very much felt like what you said, right? 450, now almost 460 today. It's like, it gets a lot more challenging. So how are you thinking about that? Because I think that's the pain point. We always want to go back to what we had. I'll tell you this, like even our own guys, like, can we go back to this? It's like, wow, I wish we could. It's just, I'm not making excuses. It's just harder to do that now because it's just, we're not the same business we were at 30 million now. You know what I mean? So what do you think about that?
Yeah. So, going from $10 million to $30 million to getting everybody in the same group, in the same room is tough. All right. So we use Zoom. We do a Zoom meeting like crazy. I can get 30 people in a Zoom meeting versus I can get 30 people in a class. All right. Is more, you know, like us, we start at 4 o'clock. It's going to end at 5 o'clock. If the meeting starts at 7 a.m. in the morning. It starts at 7 a.m. in the morning. There is no pre-BS meeting at 6:30, and there is no BS after, you know, when the meeting is over. And you can get a lot more people in Zoom. Now, look, I don't have the pain that you have now with 450 people. All right. So for me, it's easier to manage it now. And when I get there, we'll figure out. My goal is to do $1 million a day. We'll see when we get there.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm just curious, you know, this great business you built, great margin model. Like, what are you thinking about to sustain that? Because I think that's always the evolution on there. But
Aaron, I did not build it. My team built it. I got my manager really do a fantastic job. Honestly, these guys, I don't know when they sleep. Most likely don't. You know, when I think I beat everybody shows up here at 6 a.m., the building is light up.
Yeah.
Hey, let me ask a question. And I think it's awesome that you have both Scott and John, who worked with both of these guys as a part of Redwood Services, which are part of that family, which we love those guys. We just did an interview with them not too long ago with both John and Richard Lewis. Great, great organization. I feel like I said, they do it right. You talked about them bringing like leading indicators versus lagging indicators into your business model.
Yes.
Like, you were kind of doing your thing before you even brought them on board and doing well at it. Like, do you, what else did they bring to the table for you? Or, because I don't understand, like, if I remember correctly, the way that Redwood does this is they want the operators that want to keep going, like they want to keep operating and running their businesses on their own, doing their own thing, and then they come back and support it, and like, which is what we all hear, but they legit do it. But they gave, so what else did they give you that's helping you kind of like expedite this, or that you didn't have moving forward to help you, you know, because now you're having it was like 40%+ growth happening, or like some big number. I can't remember.
Yeah, we are like at 52% year over year in 26 compared to 25. We did not know what Scott and John is pitched us in the last year. All right. We did not think about lagging leading indicator. We always have a dash, you know, a daily huddle, and we say, oh, we did good yesterday. We sucked at it. All right. You know, and now I know at 3 o'clock in the afternoon how tomorrow is going to look like. All right. And that's based on, you know, call counts for each division, with separation of the HVAC department between service and opportunity guys. I learned from Ishmael Valdez. He taught me how to, run the plumbing division and the electrical division the same as you're running HVAC division. All right.
Scratch the notes.
honestly, it worked out really, really good, right? You know,
we love Ish. We're boy for sure. You're like, we learned from him. I'm like, you learn plumbing from Ish? No, I'm joking.
Listen,
he built that, absolutely. He's a legend. Joker says,
my ego is not my amiga.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's great that you leaned into all these people. So you were learning a lot of this stuff before. Were you not in Nextdoor then, I'm assuming. I was
in Nextdoor in my software business.
Okay. You started his business, but then you were not Nextdoor when you were growing his business. And then you did all these other things on your own by reaching out, learning from all everybody else, and then joined Redwood, which basically has a similar, I don't want to keep calling them Nextdoor. They have a lot of like their own thing, but from our experience, they have a lot of similarities of how they operate.
Yeah. I got the blueprint from them.
Yeah. Okay.
And execute. Right. Literally, I did not do anything but the execution part.
Okay. That's the hardest part. Most people learn all the stuff and then they can't execute. That's usually the biggest thing. That's the truth though. The biggest thing is all the information is available to anybody. There's not, the one thing I think we have to understand in this trade, like I used to talk about this too, and I'd love to get Chad to jump in on this one too, is like my business coach, Jim Hamilton, who was a legend to me, I was always like, I just tell you something, then you just go do it. I was like, well, yeah, because I don't know any better. People always want to argue about things. I've never done it. I don't have anything to do it, but then everybody wants to debate how to do something before they've ever done it themselves. Like I was always a big believer in the idea coming up, especially early on growing this business. Like I haven't earned the right to change anything or challenge anything that's been more successful than me. If Nextdoor said this, my business coach said it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it. And then I just remember, guys, I love that you said that because I think it's important to do that. And then I go meet with guys in Nextdoor. They're great guys that have been successful and some haven't. You go back and they want to like debate and argue all these things that this process. Chad, you can probably speak to this too, right? I was like, why are you arguing this thing? You've been in this thing longer than me and you still haven't done it. I just did what they said. And now you want to think that you know how to do it better, but what you've done better still hasn't surpassed what they said. So like that mindset, I think is super important. It's like, you might've tried to ask questions, but you didn't debate it and then say, I know a better way. You just said, if this is the way, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, I know who I am to debate it. I mean, these guys are very successful at it and they follow the process. And it makes it easy for me to just take the process and implement. So, you know, we focus on the most important goals for each division. We take 4 or 5 goals, we're going to work on it. Each one of them, we're going to create a smart goal, specific, measurable, achievable, you know, relevant and timeline or time bound. And then we act on the lead measures. And in those smart goals, they have to have actions. And we just have a scoreboard. A scoreboard tells us what's the score for the game. And we create accountability to win. That's really as easy as it gets. Like you'll just figure out what the 4 things that you want to work on it. You create some smart goals with them with timelines and action items, not a dream. We not action items. And when the due date of each one, and you measure each one of them and you put them in the scoreboard where everybody can see them and you hold everybody accountable to his goals. That's life.
Hey, what was the name of the company? I know you told me. What was the name of your software company?
Ergos. ERGOS. That's like C2000.
Oh, Ergo. Okay, got it. Well, listen, we're already pushing 40 minutes into this episode, which is great. Great conversation back and forth. I think that we've established you've built a really great business. You kind of run it. Sounds like you got a really great system and really great operators running the system and a lot of accountability. And that's kind of how you're scaling. And then you brought on your Redwood friends and you keep going. And I know that, Chad, I heard him say the same thing about just, you know, what he would learn from Nextdoor from John Conway is like, John says, do this. I do this thing. I didn't like question. I didn't change things. I just did what they told me to do to grow the business. And hearing both these guys say this and you say this, it sounds like, yeah, maybe if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. I think most of the people fail, Chris, Chad, and Aaron, is they want to perfect the process before they execute it. And there is nothing perfect in life, right? They want to know this process. It needs to tweak. We're not going to send it out on the road till we fix it, till we make sure it's 100% complete and it's perfect and never be perfect. It takes time and will never be perfect. We I don't do that. When I think it's all good enough, we're going to execute it and going to fix it as it goes.
Ready to take your business to the next level? Growth doesn't happen by accident. It happens with the right strategy, mindset, and execution. At can'tstopthegrowth.com, you'll find proven tools, resources, and training built specifically for leaders and entrepreneurs in the trades. Visit can'tstopthegrowth.com today to learn how you can turn today's challenges into tomorrow's opportunities.
Hey, I think this is the perfect time, guys, to make a quick transition. And I didn't know that I was going to go down this route today, but I think we go for it. And I think that means it's time for... Hey, the Home Service VIP top three questions. I'm actually going to be really curious, Helmy. You have no idea what I'm about to ask you. I'll take the first one, boys, because you guys have done most of the talking, which, by the way, has been fantastic. I love this. Okay, I want to ask you a question, Helmy, all right? And I want you to, it seems like you're a pretty straight shooter. I think you're going to give a good straight shooting answer on this. But from your experience, right now, coming from the software industry, you've been in this thing since 2018, you've had some good success, you're kind of still on the come up, but you've been around some great people. What's broken in home services that nobody wants to admit? From your experience, what's broken in home services that nobody wants to admit?
Retentions. Retentions of employees. I made a decision day one that I'm going to be the highest paid employer in the state.
You learned that one from Ishmael, right?
Yeah, right. and we still have some retention problems, right? The retention is people, they like it easy. They don't like to follow the process. They don't like to be accountable. The accountability, it's not there. I think that's what the... I think the door knocking is like the worst, and after that comes the home service.
You say door knocking?
Yeah, you know, people they hire for door knock, they knock for a week and then they quit.
Yeah. Oh, I see. That's where your retention is complicated. Yeah, I get it.
I believe that's the retention, and we have the problem. The technical skills is the second part. But the retention is typically where the home service company lack the most.
Hey, isn't that what both John and Richard said too from when we interviewed them? Didn't they say the same thing?
I think so.
I guess you guys are aligned there.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, there's up and down alignment between where that is culturally wise and what you need to do. I would actually agree though. I think there's been a lot. I don't know, Chad, what you feel, but I think that the retention of the industry has changed a lot in my time for sure. And it feels like, people are almost willing to walk faster than ever at times. It feels like at times, I don't know. That seems like in general, maybe that's a cultural thing from a society standpoint, but it does feel like that, sometimes you used to feel like you kind of knew if somebody was going to go, there's like a lot more kind of indicators and do stuff. Now all of a sudden somebody's just kind of like, nah, I don't do this anymore. I'm going to go get a warehouse job or something. Like, it's just kind of wild a little bit at times. I don't know. Chad, you got something on that too?
No, I mean, I would say the same thing. It's like, and it's also like, I don't understand what you're looking for. Like, yeah. What is so drastic? What do you think is going to be so drastic, especially the people that go from like one company to another? Like, yeah. I don't understand like what, are we, I know we have stuff to work on and we're not perfect and there's stuff that's broken, but like, what do you feel that you're going to get that is so like earth shattering different at this other place? And I think it's a lot, Helmy, to your point, is like, I think a lot of them are running from the accountability. Like, it's like, oh, well, maybe if I go over here, no one will see that I don't really want to try that hard. And I think it's like, I honestly think that is because like, I can't think of a good reason as to like, oh yeah, this place over here, they do inventory a lot different. Really like that. Like that is where I want to be. It's like what you're running. I think they run plumbing calls, pretty sure. I think that's what it looks like over there. I mean, unless they run some call that I don't know about and they send plumbers out to fix it. You're doing the same thing. So like, that's the part that I can't get, but I'm with you, Aaron. It's like, well, hold on, what happened to Billy? Like, I get the, you know, hey, Billy left. I'm like, what happened? Like, I don't know. He just told us he's done. I'm like, okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. So I don't know what you see there. And I know culture matters in that stuff too. Like, you're having the one-on-one conversation, do stuff, but we do that. Our guys do that. Yeah. Maybe we need to be better at it, but there is an opportunity sometimes. Like, I just feel like sometimes people just don't share as much as they used to about what's going on. So then you just, now all of a sudden it's just like, they're gone. So I agree. I guess what we're saying is we actually agree with what you're saying, and without beating on it, I guess, Chris, if we want to ask another question, but it does seem interesting. Cause I think everybody needs to know, like, we all are seeing this and understand this. Like, so now what do we do? Right. How do we tackle it as an industry even better together, to work together to make this industry keep having good retention and bringing people into it?
I don't have the answer for that. Literally, I thought I did everything possible to create the best culture. I mean, the guys out here that love it. And it's so funny, man. Everybody leaves. They always text back the manager 2 weeks later and says, what can you do? All right. Yeah. I guess the grass is not greener out there. But again, some people, they, you know, for some reason, they don't like to put their ID badge in their shoe covers. All right. And then it become problem for them. And then eventually they're not here. Right. We could do a much better, you know, a job in the hiring process. But again, that's my problem. And everybody I talk to is recruiting is typically is where retention is the problem.
Well, I don't believe I'm going to get to three questions, so we're going to just keep this one at two. And I'm going to actually ask a different one than normal, gentlemen, if that's okay with you boys.
I can't remember the other two, so yeah, go for it.
You can't remember. At least Aaron knows.
I knew the one that you said. Like, if he would have called on me, I could have regurgitated that one, but I can't remember the other one.
Yeah. That one actually probably is the most impactful, because I think that does it, but yeah.
So I'll share them right now just for the sake of this conversation. And then I'll ask the other one I'm going to ask. It's not part of the three. The other one is, what hill would you die on as an operator? I'm not asking that question. Help me. I'm just sharing it. And then one is, what's one thing every owner should stop doing immediately? So I'm not going to ask any of those questions. I'm actually going to ask a really cheesy one, but it's one I'm interested to ask you specifically. And you're not, you know, 2018 is what, 9 years ago at this point, right? Is that kind of eight. Math right? Carry two. Eight. Well, suit that. What is it, 26 or 27? What the hell 26. Year is it? 26. Okay, never mind. Yeah, 8 years ago. Fuck me. You know, I just had a radiation treatment right before I did this, so I got a little brain fog. Mm-hmm. Okay, last question I'm going to ask you, and then we'll go ahead and close out.
And he used to count all the in the Google, all the algorithm numbers, right, to make sure you get the right amount of leads and the math. Okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see? That's exactly it. Thank you. And all the other numbers I had to count to. Okay, so super simple, easy question. Okay, you're 8 years into this deal. If you had to start over tomorrow, okay, first question is, would you rather have money or would you rather have a network? Which one of those two would you rather have? Money or the network? Okay, and then what would be the first thing that you do?
Hire the top management team in the country.
Right out the gate. That's what you do.
Right out the gate. Yeah. I hired the best two in the state right out the gate. I took a loan for them, you know, to pay for them. Right. But if I would do it all over again, I will hire a bigger team right out the gate.
Okay, great. Well, I guess that was pretty straightforward. I guess since you chose network, that also helps. I have this little segment I'm going to add this thing to, Chad and Aaron, that I thought about, and it was like, hire or fire, and there's like would you rather question. I think I'm going to add this into one of these segments. It was going to be pretty fun.
I appreciate you collaborating with us on that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're welcome. It's going to be great. Can't wait to see how this goes.
Yeah. I like to surprise you guys. It's so much more fun that way.
It is a lot more fun that way, by the way.
No. Hey, Helmy, real quick before we close out here, is there any questions that you want to ask either one of these boys? I know you kind of already going back and forth a little bit, but you mean, obviously these guys are, you know, behemoths and the industry too. And so anything you want to ask them before we close
you
out?
Guys are like five times my size. Well, how do you get from $50 million to a $70 million or $100 million? What did you make? What's the difference, processes, setup you did when you were below 50 to over 50?
So I think there's a couple of things. I think the finance side becomes more critical because your overhead will grow. And being in the HVAC business, we're primarily HVAC. I don't know what your split is, but I mean, like, it moves, right? You're in New Jersey. So like you get hot, cold, you get mild, you get all of that stuff. So, you know, being able to have someone who has their pulse on that, that's not my specialty. You know, Aaron has Mike, I have Michael. I'm sure you have someone, but making sure that you've got that person who knows how to, you know, manage cash flow, and make sure that, you know, you've got everything where you need, you know, because I think when you start to get this role, at least if for us, like at 50 million, you start to have a little cash in the kitty. And so like your, willingness to make dumber decisions, like you're not as tight on that. You're like, ah, hell, let's bring in this person. Like so-and-so said that we ought to do this. And it's like, then you lose that piece, which you said has been so critical to your success, of that accountability, right? And I think that's the hardest part, is like, how do I, like, if it's you managing these direct people, well, then you can hold them accountable because you know what the outcome needs to be. Well, as you hit 50 and 70, well, all of a sudden you are sitting in your office and know that it's like, it's harder to affect change unless you have the right people in place that know the goal, know the business, are willing to hold the people that they manage accountable. Finance is a key piece of that, but that goes kind of holistically through that. I think the other piece is people. Like, you've got to figure out, I mean, we just talked about retention. Well, like, in order to do 50 or 70 million, like, you're going to have to run double the calls. So like, where are you getting double the calls? Now, I think getting the leads, it sounds like you've got a lot of great systems. You can go get the leads, but you got to have people to run those leads. And I think that's probably the one piece where we've kind of like almost hit a wall. It's like, we want to grow, but it's like, we've got to build more and more technicians. And to get that growth that you want to get, you got to have a lot more technicians. Like, double your staff when you got 10, you got to get to 20. Well, double your staff when you've got 100, you got to get 100 more. Like, where are they coming from? And if we know that the pool is such, you know, where are we going to get all these people? And then on top of that, where are we going to get all these people that want to follow process procedure, want to be held accountable, want to do all the things that we know have made this successful? I think that's the other big piece. So for me, it's like, hey, making sure that you've got the right people, especially like finance. HR is another big one. Like, you know, you go from 100 to like 400 people, like having a tight HR team that's like managing all of the shit that's going to happen with 400. Like, I was just talking to somebody about this today. We had an employee who's, you know, going to lose a spouse. And it's like, I turned to her. She's been with me for like 25 years. I go, what the hell? Like, we used to have like one tragic event or one death or one, I feel like we have one every week. Like, how do we deal with this stuff? But it's like the law of numbers. Well, the same thing with like your HR complaints of like shit going wrong and people going off the rail and all of this, like making sure all of those back office functions, you've got the right leader that can take it to the next level and help you scale all that process and procedure that sometimes you don't have to think about when, you know, you've got 100, but when you have more, it just compounds on itself.
Do you have a recruiter in-house?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have a recruiting manager and then we have two recruiters that are recruiting.
At one point you started that, at one size.
Oh shit. I would have got a recruiter a long time before I did. I think that's a great position to add. You don't need like hierarchy. You just need like someone like, you know, kind of intrigue. You just need someone doing it every day, like yeah. Just reaching out, talking to people, setting up interviews, so on and so forth. But I yeah, your size
it now, right?
Yes, right now.
I get it right,
now.
Right now.
Thank you.
Yeah. I guess, just to follow up on that, I agree with everything Chad said. I think also maybe with your partnership, they might be able to help you. But also some of the things that you've done, they break. They just fundamentally break. You don't realize they're going to break, but I can tell you, around 30 to 40, everything kept working fine. 50, 60, 70, everything you thought was what worked kind of stopped working. And I mean by that is like even your accounting software, you had to go to and over to Sage Intacct, right? And then you had to do all that. Maybe you've already done that, right? If you've done that already, then you're out of the game. But that, and then some of the way you ran your call center, doesn't work the exact same way. The way you book it, like there's just things that fundamentally have scale, but they will actually break because the business operates so differently. And I think that's just understanding what are those things that are going to break because they will. I don't know how you operate all your stuff, but there are certain ways we used to run our call center through Nexstar processes that do not actually work when we got to scale anymore, right? They're great when you're smaller, you can control, you can do stuff, you can do these things, they just kind of break in those processes. And I think the other thing for me, at least for me, and there's a lot of people I've been on this journey with me too, is that not everybody's going to make it, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's a hard reality. Maybe you've got a great team. It sounds like you've done stuff. And I've had a great team. I've been blessed. There's been so many people that have helped me in this organization and grow. But certain people are in seats that were not $50 million operators. They were not $75 million operators. And then having to have that conversation later was probably the hardest thing. Is that like, because you have so much...
I see it now. Yeah, what got you here won't get you there.
Yeah, and that's true though. But there's some that will find, but the odds of them are as hard because when your business is going this fast, people can only grow so fast, right? So I think that's one of the things that I guess I would answer too. And I think that's what Chad was saying there. But for me, that was probably one of the hardest parts for me was the reality of that.
Yep. Yeah, it's a hard one.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, I know it's go time and everybody's got to get moving, but Dehelmy, appreciate you coming on here and giving us your time. Hopefully this was as enjoyable for you as it has been for me.
Yes, it is. I'm grateful to be part of this group.
Absolutely.
Well, and congrats on the success. Like yeah. I always had said, hell of a job, man. You just keep going. I love it. And we'll, I'm sure we'll probably see you at Freedom or Pantheon or one of these things.
Yeah, here. I'll be there with hopefully next year will be 50 million.
Okay. Hell yeah, let's go. All right, to our listeners, I'm going to go ahead and make this short and sweet. You know, I think one thing that he said that really stood out to me too was, you know, progress over perfection. Right? Like you're never going to do anything perfectly. And so don't let that hang you up from starting anything. So if you need to follow some of that wise advice, you know, like if you know, like Aaron said, you know, why debate something you haven't done, you know, and try to change it before it is work. Like just follow what's working, right? And you do your own thing. But whatever you do, don't talk about it. Be about it. Until next week, when we have our next guests or whoever VIP I guess come up, I'm happy to have you VIP listeners come back and hang with us, boys. So until then, we'll see you.
What's the password?
Don't talk about it. Be about it.